Now, I met up with this group of people two nights ago, and as you mentioned, this is also involving Indigenous people. And I met a number of Indigenous people who are, to some degree, helping this march. Most of them have come from farther west, from North and South Dakota, and they're providing logistics and security for the march after having experienced some of this at Standing Rock. We interviewed one of the people who's doing this. She just calls herself Foxy, and asked her to explain her story, and let's hear in her own words why they have joined the folks in Iowa to talk about the pipeline.
Standing Rock was where I first started learning about pipelines, period, and how bad they ruin the water and the soil and the environment. I was there from December, January, February, December to when it ended. Never actually went back home. I don't know, my spirit just kept telling me, let's go, and so I had, I literally bought a one-way ticket to Bismarck and didn't know absolutely one person in Bismarck or South Dakota or North Dakota, anywhere. I had never even been to the Dakotas. I was blessed to actually meet different people, and I started seeing, you know, our sisters and brothers in prayer, and truly just out there, really out there for the reason of their ancestors fought for that land, and some of them had family members buried there. I wasn't really interested in pipelines before. And then I started hearing people talk about what the pipelines were doing, what in case they burst and, you know, such things like that. You know, I saw the water cannons happening. And so once I saw that, I just thought to myself, like, well, wait a minute. This is like domestic terrorism. What is going on here? How are people outside of Standing Rock not being outraged by what is going on there? I got what a lot of people were calling the Dapple Cough. So I don't know if anybody heard of that Dapple Cough. So we had flyovers all the time with the planes, and the planes were actually spraying something over the camps. Mm-hmm. And one of them was Rosol. Rosol is it's a rat poison. Yeah, so people were getting sick. People were getting really, really sick to where they would have to leave camp and go back home. And, you know, they would first think it was pneumonia. I know this because of people have done research and have left camp and were actually diagnosed. It would feel like a flu, a really, really bad flu, and really bad cough. And you could take NyQuil, DayQuil, whatever it is, and you just weren't getting better. I got it, and it started off as just a cough, and it's just a cough that doesn't quit. And then eventually, a lot of us had it, so a lot of people were like, oh, you've got that Dapple Cough. Things like that are just devastating. It's just kind of like, okay, well, that happened. Now, nobody is really going to figure out unless somebody actually goes with samples and says, I got these at this time, and this was here. Can you please test this? And even if we had that, who can we trust to test it? And so I had it January, February, March, April to May. But there was a point where I was coughing up blood, and then someone saw that, and I'm just like, whoa, like just in shock. And someone else said, yeah, you've got the Dapple Cough. That's what's happening to us. And I just kind of stopped and looked at everybody like, this is normal. This isn't normal. You know, they're trying to kill us. And nobody came to help. Nobody came to say, hey, you know what? This is wrong. They have a right to stand up against this pipeline. I would be face to face with these men from the military, and you could see the hatred in some of their eyes. Like, literally a look, and we're holding sage bundles, we're praying, and we're singing, and literally looking at you in your eyes like, I wish you would, so I could. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're armed. They're dangerous. And then you would see some that actually look like they just didn't want to be there. Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen some that have tears coming out of their eyes. And I prayed for all of them. And I didn't realize till I left that all that happened there caused PTSD. Seeing the people run and cry, and we're trying to take care of the elders because the elders are there in prayer, and the elders sacrifice themselves for us. You know, they did everything they did to pave the way for us. And what I'm doing now is for the future generation to fight. You know, like my friend said earlier, I don't think that I will ever see change in my lifetime. But it makes me feel really good to know that my daughters have seen how much I've fought. You know, I have blisters on my feet, and I can barely move my ankle. But and everybody kept saying, no, you need to stop. And I said, I'm so close to the end, I got to keep going. You know, and I look at the older women that are in our group, and they're going, and I think, you know, they're going. I can do this, and with the help of my peers here, they uplift you. Like, you know, and that's what makes me feel like everything that we went through, PTSD or not, was 100% worth it. Because we may have lost that fight right there, but we learned a lot from it. We woke a lot of people up, and I think it's brought us allies with people that we never thought we would be allies with. I didn't know what to expect when I was coming to Iowa. Mm-hmm. I was asked to go on a march, and it was for, you know, oh yeah, we're going to march, we're going to do this, we're going to the pipelines, and then this is what's going on in Iowa too. Mm-hmm. But it led from there because ceding sovereignty is part of this walk. Strong women that connects Standing Rock in Iowa and the march and everything together. But being with the people I've met on this walk has just opened my eyes tremendously to how great we can all be if we give each other the opportunity to just kind of listen. Me and these women have shared stories and hugged and cried on this walk and held hands and stood together like this. And I look at my people around me and I'm just like, man, we're freaking awesome, you know? Everywhere we have stopped, everybody's like, have been so good to us and have fed us and just made us feel so comfortable. Because usually I would kind of think it's going to be like Bismarck, where everybody just doesn't like us because of the color of our skin, you know. And I've had people actually say, you guys are scum, you know, you guys are bottom feeders. So to go someplace like in Iowa, I was kind of scared at first. I was like, oh my gosh, what if we go and they're not good, nice to us, and you know, what if they don't like us? But Iowans are like the best people I've ever met. Then people have been encouraging us, they've been uplifting us, and they make us feel good. I've enjoyed every single minute of being out here. I really have. I absolutely love walking and seeing your indigenous flowers. It's a lot of medicine out there. It's a lot of healing medicine out there. And that's what I do. So I walk past, I'm like, oh my gosh, they have Cola de Caballo horsetail. My grandma used to grow that, you know. And we're all the same, and we're willing to help with whatever needs to. Because right now what we're doing is for security. And I told the people today, I said, you know what? I would go against anybody who tried to go against you, you know? And they were like, us too, Foxy. And I was like high-fiving everybody. But, you know, it's literally when they cross the street, I stand right there on the street, and I'm just like, think I'm this powerful, big, huge, incredible Hulk lady. And I was like, you stop and let these people cross. You know, I'm in my radio. Okay, here we go. Go, you guys, hurry. And they're just like, thanks, Foxy, you know? And my thing is, if we're all there for the same reasons, and we have a lot of elders with us, there should be no reason why they would not feel safe on this walk. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm doing. And then that's where all the pipeline thing, it's all kind of intertwined. Yeah. It's a big, huge, it's almost like me meeting him. And then 2 weeks from now, I'm standing on his farm and I'm like, hey, yeah, so they're going to be like, so how did you get to know this one? And, you know... You guys don't understand, like, we're all intertwined in some way or another. Mm-hmm. I'll remember you guys, and then one day maybe you might see me, and I know her. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be like, how do you guys know each other, you know? I don't know. I think the pipeline has brought me together with a lot of people. Yeah.
That was Foxy Jackson, who is originally from Oakland, California, but who is currently with a group of people who have been marching across central Iowa from Des Moines to Fort Dodge, known as the First Nation Former Climate Unity March. In addition to telling us her personal story of how she ended up here in Iowa, Foxy brought us news about some disturbing developments associated with the oil fields in the Dakotas called man camps.
Man camps come with every single pipeline. Wherever they're at, the man camps are going to be there because they house the workers. The workers come from everywhere. I don't even think they do background checks on most of them. So you don't even know what their backgrounds are like. A lot of them do drugs, and they have urges, they have needs. A lot of the man camps and a lot of these pipelines are by reservations. Mm-hmm. And there's women that are being raped. There's women that are actually murdered. Mm-hmm. And there's people who've been missing since the 70s. The families are left to look for their loved ones on their own. They don't get help. They don't get the search teams. They have to form themselves with friends and family that are willing to come out and help them look. They can't just go in there and say, hey, my sister's missing, and have a search party and say, we're going to come and look in your camp. No. These men don't want people to know the truth. They won't let you on there, and they won't allow us out there. Mm-hmm. And if the outside media is not interested in the missing Indigenous women and it's not being covered, and then nobody even cares or knows about it. The family has absolutely no one there to help them. You know, you don't see the media saying this person's missing. She's been missing for 5 years. There's nothing out there looking for. After a while, they're just kind of forgotten, you know, and people don't know that these women are missing. But someone's family is still waiting for them to come home. These are real human beings. And so we'll wear T-shirts or red shirts or red dresses that's showing solidarity with the families and everyone else. The red dress is a symbol for a missing or murdered Indigenous woman. You know, and it just devastates me because I have two daughters. And I will continue to always speak about missing, murdered Indigenous women. My message about that is we should do your research. Google missing, murdered Indigenous women. See their faces. You never know. You might actually have seen one of these girls. You know, if you look up the MMIW, you will see their faces. You will know who these women are. You can see their face. You can see their story. You can see that when there'll be some that have been, like I said, the 70s, and then they'll do the pictures of what they might look like now. And then if you see these, share them on your Facebook. We have a lot of Indigenous people who share them amongst ourselves on our pages, you know. But if we could get you guys to look at those yourselves and say, you know what, look, this one's missing, this one's missing. Just wanted to let you know in case anybody might have seen her. MMIW is for Murdered Missing Indigenous Women. Put those initials in on Facebook. It will come up. Their faces will come up. You know, the locations, how long they've been missing for. And that way you can really see their faces. I think it brings that person to life when you see their face, opposed to just saying her name. So, yeah, I would encourage you guys to really do that and just, you know, bring awareness for them, too, because they deserve it just as much as any other person.
And that was Foxy Jackson, Indigenous woman originally from Oakland, California, who is currently with a group of people who have been marching across central Iowa from Des Moines to Fort Dodge, known as a First Nation Farmer Climate Unity March, to bring attention to their objection to the Bakken Pipeline, which is going through Iowa.